Early Sunday morning, the U.S. and five other world powers came to an unprecedented nuclear agreement with Iran. Iran will restrict its uranium enrichment to a level used for non-military production in exchange for easing some of the economic sanctions.
The agreement has a deadline of 6 months, during which further negotiations are expected. The deal has been met with praise and skepticism, with harsh criticism coming from Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Here with us to talk about the details of the agreement and what we can expect in the coming months is Politico's deputy White House editor, Rebecca Cinderbrand. Rebecca, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the agreement is being called historic. How significant is it, do you think?
Oh, it's extremely significant. You know, this is marking, it's easy to remember that just a few short months ago, it had been more than three decades since the two leaders of the United States and Iran had spoken with each other. And now there's an actual diplomatic agreement that's been reached. Granted, it's only an interim agreement, but of course, the administration pointing to it as the first step to a more permanent resolution to the problem.
So you mentioned the six-month deal. It was reached. What does it have to say about Iran's capability to develop nuclear weapons now and in the future?
Well, there's a couple of interesting things that are in it, and there's a couple of things that are still seem to be, at least at this moment, a little fuzzy and are still being resolved. Right now, what it says is Iran is going to agree to stop producing this sort of enriched uranium that basically represents the best effort to produce weapons-grade material, and it's also going to stop developing new centrifuges, which can produce fuel for a nuclear weapon. It's going to agree not to install critical components or fuel at its reactor at Iraq, which could produce enough plutonium for two weapons a year if it were operational, and it's going to neutralize its medium-enriched nuclear fuel and agree to some inspections. And in return, the Western powers have agreed not to impose new sanctions for the next 6 months if Iran abides by the commitment, and to allow Iran access to some of its reserves that have been frozen overseas.
And critics of this, you know, are saying, well, this is not the whole goal. We had wanted, you know, for instance, Israel saying we'd wanted more out of this. You haven't gone far enough. What is the United States saying about the six-month plan and maybe getting further along the pike with this?
Well, there's a couple of things here. Number one is, of course, the president can ask Congress and make the case to Congress that new sanctions shouldn't be imposed. But, of course, that's exactly what was in progress before this agreement was announced. There was discussion in Congress, even in the days leading up to this agreement's announcement, of the possibility of even stronger sanctions than the ones already in place. And that's a discussion that continues, even in the wake of this agreement. So, you know, the president and the administration have to make the case to both allies and critics on Capitol Hill that now is not the time to impose new restrictions on Iran, that they need to let the process develop.
And President Obama did not have to go to Congress to ask for permission on this because he can keep his side of the bargain through an executive order. Do you know what would have happened had he gone to Congress at this point?
Well, of course, that is the question. Again, looking at the way things were going in the direction that things were heading, and Congress, of course, discussing additional sanctions. And even now, we're expecting to see some sort of action, whether it's in the form of hearings, whether it's in the form of a call from Congress for additional oversight. There's discussions on Capitol Hill. And, of course, while the president has said to Congress, again, now is not the time for new sanctions, it technically is within the purview of Congress. They could start discussing that. He doesn't, you know, they don't have to ask his permission for that. Of course, you know, the key thing to keep in mind as well is the timeline here. This, for the first time, sets up a kind of deadline, if you will, where if there are critics on the Hill that could make the case that Iran has not complied with the terms of the agreement, the pressure for additional action becomes even stronger.
Well, Secretary of State John Kerry has said this was not an agreement based on trust, but on verification. Others have said, in essence, you know, we just sort of need to see how this plays out. What does that mean?
Well, what Kerry's saying is, look, Iran has agreed to kind of an unprecedented access, at least for Iran, to inspectors. That has agreed to daily inspections of some weapon sites and other measures which would allow for verification. You know, the president and others saying, look, we understand. The White House releasing a statement yesterday also saying, look, we understand Israel has reason to be skeptical of Iran's intentions here, that others have reason to be skeptical of Iran's intentions. And so verification and the inspections by international international inspectors and the allowing the access for international inspectors is a big part of this agreement, and that's something you can expect to see the administration pointing to many, many times in the weeks and months ahead.
Now, we just heard in the top of the hour headlines from NPR that Israel will be sending delegates to Washington to talk about what they'd like going forward with Iran as they move forward looking at a deeper nuclear deal. Do you have a sense of what they'll be asking for and what their priorities are?
Well, of course, you know, the president spoke to Prime Minister Netanyahu on Sunday after the agreement was announced. The Prime Minister, of course, speaking out before he and the president had connected, expressing his disappointment with the deal. This is not what he wanted to see in the slightest. The president also said, made it clear, and the administration made it clear, that that communication with Israel about this agreement, the terms of the agreement, the inspections under the agreement, was going to be continuous now that it had been announced. You know, these talks, we're now learning, of course, were going on for many, many months, even before there was public awareness that they were taking place, that the process had begun. And so apparently, you know, Israel came to some awareness of this, they were saying. Representatives of the Israeli government were saying that they'd come to some awareness of this, even though it was not revealed to them officially for some time.
Now, this deal has an expiration date of 6 months. You know, in the meantime, what kind of oversight will weapons inspectors have in Iran?
Again, that's the key. You know, under the terms of this agreement, there would be at some point daily inspections involved. There will be access for international inspectors, and they will be given free access to the two reactors in particular that were in question. And that's going to be a huge, huge part of the president and the administration's case as they're heading to Congress now. You heard John Kerry say it's trust and verify, 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 repeating that again and again and again, making the case that the administration is not just taking Iran's word on faith, that it is looking at actual facts on the ground, that there are experts there who are able to gauge whether or not Tehran is in compliance with the terms of the agreement. Because, again, the key for the administration is not just looking ahead to the possibility of a permanent agreement in 6 months, but preventing any additional action from being taken before then. Anything that happens before then, any additional measures that were taken, any punitive measures against Iran, they say would weaken their hand when they go to the negotiating table because it would make the case to Tehran that they might not be able to deliver on their side of any kind of permanent agreement.
And it's possible, isn't it, that this could just draw out 6 months by 6 months, eking along without maybe ever getting as far as certain parties would like it to go?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's the other key here. But of course, you know, a lot of people saying, the people who are defending the agreement would say, look, you know, at least there's a process in place now, and that any kind of continuing diplomatic process, even if it's slow and painful, will be preferable to military action. And, of course, some critics worrying that the momentum could be lost for stronger action if there is this kind of slow, painful movement forward that's apparent. It's interesting, so we'll see how it plays out over the next few months. The dynamic that develops, the sense of whether Iran is being completely forthcoming, the sense of whether inspectors have all the access that they need to verify that Iran is in compliance, that's going to be a huge part of what we can expect to see at the end of the six-month period.
Well, obviously the brass ring here is an Iran without weapons capabilities, whose program is only used for peaceful purposes. How close do you think we are to grabbing that ring at this point?
And that's the $64,000 question. I mean, you know, no one seems to really know that. Again, even the administration, as it's plugging this deal and saying that they're going to be moving forward and continuing the conversation with Iranian officials, saying, again, Israel and others have much reason to be skeptical of Iran's stated intentions. So the early signs, or at least, you know, the fact that Iran has agreed to halt the production of the weapons-grade uranium is seen as a huge step, or at least a sign of good faith. So at least for the time being, for the next several months, that program is essentially frozen in place, which the administration believes will be the case, or at the very least, it will slow down their progression towards weapons. So, again, remains to be seen.
All right. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us.
And thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Rebecca Cinderbrand, Deputy White House Editor for Politico.